This is Prue Blackwell speaking, and today I've got the privilege of speaking to the Gawler Health Services current Director of Nursing and Midwifery, who is Gerry Lloyd. And Gerry has been working in the hospital in Kearing Gawler since 2001, but she's just about to make a big step in her career into a new community-based service for her. But I wanted her to tell us today a little bit about her experiences in nursing care, particularly in the Hospital of Gawler, how she's seen that change, what are the big improvements have been, and where she thinks it will go in the future. Welcome, Gerry. Thank you for your time today. And what a career, what a fabulous life you've had here in Gawler, I understand, in the Gawler Health Service, leading a team of magnificent nurses and other staff. So tell us a bit about your experience here
at Gawler. Thank you, Prue. Yes, it has been a really fantastic experience here at Gawler. What I really love about Gawler Health Service and working in the Gawler community is the feeling of community. So that I really like the fact that the staff, many of them live and work in this community, and they often know the patients, they know the some of the visitors, and they really have that caring aspect to their role.
Still, that's still the same today in 2017 as it was in 01.
It's still the same today, and we certainly have a staff who come to us from the metropolitan area and then go back to the metropolitan area, but we have plenty of staff who come to us from working in the metropolitan area who then move into the Gawler or the Barossa location because they really like this
community.
They like
it so much. It's lovely.
Yes. So I started here in 2001 as a community health manager. And previous to that, I'd worked in Lyme McEwen and Queen Elizabeth, and I'd had a community role before that. So it was very different coming to a country community health service. The community health service was very much in its infancy. It was probably been running about 10 years or so, and there were lots of services that were missing that we now have. When I started at Gawler, we had a domiciliary care team, and that team, very, very committed team, working with the elderly in the community. And that team still continues, although it's rebadged as a different name now, and Country Health Connect. When I came to Gawler, there was no mental health team, there was no Aboriginal health team, and we worked really hard for quite a number of years to get those services up. One of the things that we did within the first sort of 6 months or so that I was here was we applied for two chunks of money, and one was around developing a gap analysis for Aboriginal health services, and the other was around looking at how we could develop a mental health service. With both of those small pieces of money, we decided to take a really consumer approach. And so if I talk about mental health first, we held a couple of mental health forums, and at those forums we had some guest speakers, and we asked the community who attended if they'd be interested in being part of a community group to help us set up and establish a mental health service. And they did. And they were. We had people on that group for probably about 5 years as we set up the mental health team.
That's wonderful development, isn't it?
It was.
And to do
wonderful.
It in partnership with your community.
It was exactly.
So important.
It was exactly what was needed, because for when you are setting up a new service, we could come from it from a very health hospital type orientated service, but you actually need to find out what is it that the community need? What do they want? So I was recently at a community event, and somebody stopped me and said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And she said that she had come to the Consumer Forum for Mental Health for quite a number of years. And she was really pleased to get that level of support for her son, who had now moved into his own accommodation. But at the time, she felt that there wasn't much support for her as a carer.
Yes, yes.
So
the carers are often last on the list, aren't they?
And they are often last on the list. So we ran a couple of mental health forums, and we negotiated quite well with the Northern Mental Health Services, and we were able to establish a mental health team here at Gawler. And we can't do that by yourself. You have to do that in partnership. One of the really interesting things about working with the consumers and working with the community was that we had a really dedicated group of consumers who wanted to let the community know what was good mental health, not just what was poor mental health, what was good mental health. And they decided to march in a mental health parade that was happening in Mental Health Week in the October of about 2002, and they developed a banner, a huge banner. And the banner was built on a poster, so you might remember that a number of years ago, Gawler used to run a kind of a mini brick, yellow brick road at the Gawler show.
Ah, yes.
It was the health.
Yes, I do remember. Yes, yes.
And as part of that, we had asked the local schools to ask children who were in about year six what was good for their mental health. And one child came up with the idea that mental health is keeping balanced. And he drew a picture of a stick man on a balancing sort of a piece of equipment. And around it, he wrote the words, for good mental health, you need to have good sleep, you need friends around you, you need to eat and drink well, you need to reduce your stress. And this came from a child in about six.
Wise beyond his years.
He was. And what we did with that poster, he was actually really spot on. We developed this big poster, which the team, the consumers, carried in the parade. And then we developed a series of A4 posters, and we made it very bright yellow and black, and it stood out. And for years and years and years, we printed those free of charge for the community. So we think we printed about 5,000 in total.
Yes.
And they went out to the community.
Mm. And now we know in 2017 there are other providers of mental health services in Gawler,
right,
aren't there?
That's exactly
so
right.
So for consumers there's a lot of choice now.
There is a lot of choice.
But you've obviously led the way in those early years.
I think we did lead the way in those early years. Those early years were about the services were provided from the Northern Adelaide Mental Health Service, and they weren't specific to Gawler, so there wasn't that sort of team of people who, residents who needed mental health assistance, would see a different person all the time.
Mm,
so
yes.
In those early years, we knew that that was a problem, so we were able to develop a mental health team, and we have a really robust mental health team now.
That's fabulous. And similarly, the Aboriginal health development went a similar course?
It went a similar course. What happened with the Aboriginal health was that we were invited to be part of the Gawler Council, working with what was then the Neighbourhood House on the reconciliation events that happened around Gawler. We were invited to be part of that. And I realised that we had no Aboriginal flag on this site at all.
Mm.
So we did some consultation with the community, with the staff, and we decided to develop some Aboriginal flag stickers, which we put on every entrance in the building. And then we worked with Munapiendi, which was an Aboriginal health service at Elizabeth. So we liaised with them quite clearly and quite often to discuss with them what was it that we actually needed to do here at Gawler. We then had a community member arrived, and she turned up at my doorstep one day, an Aboriginal community member, and she asked if she could have a room for women who were Stolen Generation women to meet as a group. And I said to her, I think that would be fantastic, but how about if we put you in as a volunteer, and then you can have access to all of our services. As a volunteer, you could drive a car and, you know, sort of have access to other services. So that was actually the beginning of our Aboriginal.
So she was a facilitator, if you like, of bringing in more Aboriginal women, particularly.
In the beginning, women and children. And what we did was we asked her to, and this was the late Mary Graham. So we asked Mary to work in a project for about 6 months to see how we could set up an Aboriginal health service and what was the need that the community needed most. And out of that grew the lunch program. So the first need that was identified was a meeting point for community members to come and just become familiar with the health service. And I think that was one of the really keys, was about encouraging the Aboriginal community to feel comfortable at Gawler.
Yes.
And comfortable to come in, yes, to access services. And now we have a very robust team, plus we run a GP clinic on site.
And you've won awards for that program.
And we've won awards, yes, for this program. It's been a very community-orientated program.
Yes.
The GP clinic has around 500 clients, and the Aboriginal people come from quite far and wide,
yes, in
the peninsula, metropolitan Adelaide, to come and access a GP at their clinic.
You and your staff must be very, very proud.
Very proud of that service. Those two services, they're the two that I think the community health staff feel very proud of.
So that now forms a really strong part of the overall health service here at Gawler. Yes.
It does. What it means is that for patients in the hospital, if we have a patient in the hospital who has a mental health issue, there is a mental health team on site.
Mm.
If we have an Aboriginal patient in the hospital, there, yes, is an Aboriginal health team, yes, available. And it means that that the staff get support in providing the care that those particular patients need.
Mm. So Aboriginal women also use the birthing services here quite extensively, as I understand.
We were really fortunate a few years ago to be able to access the Aboriginal Family Birthing Program. So we developed a program here at Gawler, which runs in a number of other country sites, and it's the only program of its kind in Australia. So what we did was we specifically employ a midwife and a Aboriginal maternal infant care worker who work with women in their homes. So they provide the antenatal care either in their homes or in the clinic, and they and then they birth the women. And this in 2017, I think we've birthed 18 women, and so we've probably birthed around about probably around the 50 mark of births in that program since we started about 5 years ago. What has also happened in that program is the Aboriginal maternal infant care workers start off as trainees. They have to complete a certificate for at TAFE and some diploma qualifications. And we've had two Aboriginal women who've worked in our program who've then gone on to complete their training and have permanent work at the Women's and Children's. Mm. So it has been a really good program for the women, but also for the women who are birthing, but also for the Aboriginal community, because they can see that we're supporting people to have employment.
Yes, yes, that's wonderful.
Mm.
So in those 16 years that you've been here, you're now the Director of Nursing and Midwifery here, which is really one of the most senior positions in the facility. And for listeners, I've also had the privilege of working alongside Gerry in the Health Advisory Council. And so Gerry's role has been essential for the members of that Health Advisory Council in understanding the operational issues and where community can support them. So, Gerry, tell me a little bit more about the complexity, I guess, of patients that come here compared to 2001. Gawler Health Service is a major peri-urban hospital on the interface of Metropolitan. So we do amazing things here. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
We do really amazing things here. In 2000, I came to this particular position in 2003, and at that time we had the two ward areas, and we were birthing women, and we had a surgical operating suite, and we also had an accident and emergency. That accident and emergency department has grown exponentially over the last 10 years. So in 2007, we were seeing around about 7,000 patients. We're now seeing about 15,000 patients a year.
That's more than double.
That's more than double. And we have a doctor on 24/7 in the department.
Yeah.
What that has meant is that because we have the doctor on site, if there are any concerns about patients in the hospital, then the doctor is here and is able to deal with that. So what that has also meant is that the complexity of patients that we have in the hospital has risen as well.
Yes.
So previously, because the doctors were on call and they weren't actually at the hospital, there were certain kind of groups of patients that we didn't keep, that we would send to the Lyme McEwen. However, now we can keep those patients here. We do a lot of upskilling of the nurses. For example, we recently had a patient who had a tracheostomy, which is the breathing hole in the neck, and we sent 14 nurses in total to the Royal Adelaide to learn how to manage, to sort of upskill and learn how to manage that patient. That patient now is been with us, was with us for a period of time. This is a local patient, and previous to that he would have had to have been managed and nursed at the Lyme McEwen or the Royal Adelaide. So we've really worked hard with upskilling the nurses. We've upskilled the nurses recently in chemotherapy. So we run the new chemotherapy unit.
Yes,
that's been running for 4 years. Great
additional service.
That's fantastic. That is a 4-chair unit, and we provide chemotherapy on 3 days a week at the moment. And we provide other services. So there are certain drugs which are not chemotherapy drugs but have a regime attached to them, and they're called, we call them infusions. And those drugs used to have, if a patient needed that, so Prue, if you needed to have one of these drugs, you would have in the past had to go down to the Royal Adelaide.
Mm.
Now we've got the skilled nurses here. You can have that particular drug which runs by an intravenous for over a few hours. You could have drugs like that at the hospital.
Mm.
There are complex drugs and complex chemotherapy that we don't provide here. And we will never be able to provide those here.
No.
They need the complexity and they need the skill level of the staff at the Royal Adelaide. But for that low-level chemotherapy and the lower-level infusions, it has made a huge difference to our community. We have people who come in for a particular type of infusion. They come in the morning, they go to work in the afternoon.
Mm.
Previously, they would have had to take the whole day off to drive into the Royal Adelaide. Yeah. All the stress of trying to find a park, waiting your turn, and then having to drive home again.
And that's a bit like the renal unit, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got people that reduce their travelling time and, as you say, can get on with their rest of their life after just spending 3 hours of the day or something.
Yes.
Getting their treatment.
That unit has been running for just over 12 months.
Yes.
And they're now almost at capacity. So they have 33 patients in that unit. And we're open 6 days a week. We run 2 shifts. So each day there are 2 groups of patients that come in, a morning group and an afternoon group. And in that group of patients, there are some patients who are working. They're not all patients who are too sick to work or who are retired.
Mm.
There's a number of younger people in that group who, exactly as you say, they have their dialysis either in the morning or the afternoon, whichever suits their working environment, and then they go off to work.
Mm.
It's been a really fantastic for the patients who previously had to travel to Paynham. That is one of the dialysis centres. All patients who come, we have some patients who drive an hour to Gawler to have their dialysis. And imagine if they had to drive another hour onto the Royal Adelaide.
Mm.
It makes it a really long day. That has been a great service. That's been a great addition. In about 2006, we had a big remodel of our obstetric and gynaecology services. If you remember, prior to that, we had private doctors providing the service. In 2006, we employed our own doctors in the service, so we developed a antenatal and a gynaecological clinic area, and that has outgrown. It's actually outgrown the actual area, and I can't remember exactly how many years ago now, we developed a women's health centre. So quite a number of our gynae clinics are held at the women's health centre.
What a lovely environment, for first-time mums.
It is beautiful environment for first-time mums. And a lot of the first-time mums tell us how lovely it is here when they come to have their babies.
Yes.
And it's a very small environment. It's not too noisy. It's not too busy. That is one of the things that people who have been a patient in the metropolitan Adelaide and come to Gawler, they tell us they love the quiet environment. They love the food. The food is all fresh cooked here at Gawler. They don't use frozen food. It's all fresh cooked, and the patients love that.
I bet they do.
One of the things that I did want to talk about working at Gawler, and one of the areas that's always really impressed me is the amount of volunteers that we have.
Ah, yes, I wanted to bring that up too.
We have nearly 300 volunteers at Gawler.
Wow.
It has been It is a huge amount of people volunteer, and they volunteer in a wide range of areas. Mm. So there are some volunteers who work in administration areas. They assist with making up packages of notes and paperwork, that sort of thing. There are other volunteers who visit patients. There's volunteers who run the cafe. We have volunteers who drive. Volunteers who run small groups, leisure groups. It's really amazing the amount of people who will come and volunteer a few hours a week at Gawler.
So you've almost got as many unpaid staff as you do paid staff.
In fact, that's exactly right. We have around about the same.
Which is a fantastic, diverse workforce.
It is.
Which we all know in big organisations, whether it's health or otherwise, are very important and are vital to the sort of outcomes that you need to achieve. Mm. You've also introduced new volunteers at the front door of the hospital.
We have.
Tell me about those.
That has been a really great initiative. And it was sparked by what we call the winter demand. So in hospitals, winters are very, very busy.
Yes.
And we have a lot of people who come to visit patients. So there's a lot more people on the site. Sometimes when they arrive, they don't know where to go. They don't know where to find the service that they're looking for. Perhaps they're looking for one of the wards, or perhaps somebody is looking for X-ray. So one of the areas that we had identified was about having a friendly front foyer. And the volunteers generally work in pairs, and they work from the late afternoon into the evening until about 8 o'clock. And they help direct people to where they need to go. We're really hoping that we can continue that, because that has been really well received by the community.
Mm. And I've spoken to a number of the volunteers, and they just love doing it.
They love it.
Happy being there. And again, it's that ownership in communities that you get by having local people providing local information.
Mm-hmm. And we really, really value our volunteers. We show that we value them. There's a big Christmas function each year. The volunteers are included in all the events at Gawler Health Service. And I make a point, I've always made a point of thanking the volunteers whenever I see them doing their job. So I think that that's really important, that they get that recognition that we do value what
definitely,
they do.
Definitely, yes. Mm. Yes, and it's too easy to take for granted people because they're always there doing their job well, but they've taken time out of their busy lives.
That's right.
To give back into their communities. No, it's lovely.
Mm.
So fabulous experiences that you bring, Gerry. But you're now making a big change in your life, and that's part of the reason why we wanted to talk to you today, because you're transitioning out of this very busy, acute setting into a much more informal, community-based setting.
Mm.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and what you anticipate will be happening?
I decided after a lot of thought, it took me a long time to think this through, that it was time that I moved on and that I moved to somewhere that was perhaps not quite as busy and that I had to have a little bit more time in my day. Running a hospital is a very fast-paced environment, and I was certainly feeling that it was time for somebody else to come in and put their mark. So what I've decided to do, I'm not ready to retire. I decided to go to a very small community-run aged care facility, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work in a lovely little town in a small community, and the aged care facility that I'm going to has got a lovely feel about it. It's got the values. Certainly I can see the values that I have, which is about relationships with people and putting the individual at centre of their care.
Mm.
It's something we try to do in the hospital, but in aged care I know that I can do that. We know that we can do that. And there's a lovely group of volunteers who work in the aged care facility that I'm going to. And so I think that for me it's going to be a really good change of pace.
Oh, that's fabulous, Gerry. Mm. And you'll take so much information with you and experience from, as I said, the acute setting into a community-based setting.
Yes.
So new challenges, new opportunities. Mm. But this hospital has a great legacy in what you've provided over the last 16 years, and that's why I wanted to interview you today. It's part of the history of Gawler and part of the human service provision that you've led for a long, long time. So congratulations for that period, Gerry. It's been fantastic me knowing you, getting to know you more and more. But I also look forward to hearing about your new venture, and perhaps we can interview you again one day.
Well, that'd be lovely, Prue. Thank you. It's really been heartening to hear what people are saying to me as I'm leaving, and I do have a lot of knowledge, and I have a lot of love for Gawler, and a lot of loyalty, and it was a big decision, but it is lovely to hear what people are saying, and I think whoever takes over this job will put their mark on it, and there's always a change happening, it will never be the same, and it's time for me to move into something else. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, terrific. Mm. Thank you for your time, Gerry, and good luck. All the very, very best.
Thank you very much, Prue.